Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, March 19, 2020, the first day of spring. I'll read a story titled Newspaper Staff Committed to Keeping Readers Informed. To our readers, the novel coronavirus has us all on edge. Thus, we want to fill you in on how the commercial news staff is hard at work covering the local story locally to inform you with accurate and timely news about the disease. We, like you, are dealing with a public health and economic crisis, the dimensions of which we have never experienced before. We understand the frustrations over not knowing when it will end and why it is visually important to credibly report local aspects of the pandemic. In the interest of caution and safety, we've asked our newsroom and other staff to work from home whenever possible, which, with the exception of those employees necessary to the production and distribution of the newspaper. Reporters working remotely are checking with state and local government and health officials throughout the day for information on how the outbreak affects our public safety, schools, businesses, eateries, events, healthcare facilities, and other everyday activities. They are diligently asking questions and writing stories and taking photos to keep a pace of breaking news, reporting COVID-19 cases, and providing useful information. It is our intent to be your primary source of local information on the coronavirus, a responsibility we take seriously. But we cannot do it alone. We need our questions and concerns. We need you to share your stories of coping and helping others in this time of need, how your family is getting along day to day. Stories about heroism, caring, and helping hands. Toward that end, please contact our newsroom at newsroom@dancomnews.com. Or message us on our Facebook page to widen our local coverage. We want to inform you, not scare you. We are in this stressful time together, and together we can get through it. We pursue this goal despite the economic impact that crisis has on our bottom line. Loss of advertising revenue from reduced business activity and closed stores is real. As an essential source of information in this emergency, we need all hands on deck. That's a cost we cannot furlough, as every subscriber to our print and digital platforms is available, and we need to be there for every one of them. In order to provide a public service to the community during the crisis, we have given non-subscribers access to our website's breaking news coverage of the coronavirus at www.commercial/news.com. It is our hope they, too, will find the information useful and consider a subscription to the site to help defray the cost of our local coverage. Call 217-446-9444 to sign up. This is a special, caring community. We wish everyone good health and safe keep. Please know that all of us at the Commercial News are committed to keeping you informed about the ever-expanding story of the coronavirus. Amy Winter, publisher, Larry Smith, editor. Next story is titled Making Concessions, DACC Unloads Food After Tournament Canceled. This is written by Carol Roem in Danville. When the National Junior College Athletic Association canceled all of its championship tournaments Monday, including the Men's Division II basketball tournament at Danville Area Community College, it left the college with cases of snacks and other food that would have fed the teams and fans this week. Every year, DACC Culinary Arts instructor Dana Wheeler orders cases of meat and vegetables for her students to prepare and serve three meals a day for hundreds of people who eat in the hospitality room during the multi-day tournament. Willer said not only was she left with food that would have been used during the tournament, but also food to serve 210 Garden Club members who ended up canceling their catered event due to the coronavirus restrictions. We had fresh vegetables delivered like broccoli, so Monday we had broccoli cheese soup and sold it to the staff members, she said. Then we donated that money to the DACC food pantry. Whatever shelf-stable items we took to the DACC food pantry, Willer added, referring to a food pantry accessible to DACC students in need. We also took croissants, buns, ketchup, dried noodles and cookies from the Garden Club event to the pantry. Willer said she had cabbage and potatoes that was going to be used to make corned beef and cabbage during the NJCAA tournament, but instead cooked it up to serve to the DACC faculty who were on campus Tuesday to train on using Blackboard, a learning management system that will allow them to teach their students online for the remainder of the semester. If the statewide coronavirus restrictions extends past March 30th, Willer said she will team up with Laura Hensgen, Director of Community Education and Video Development, to film cooking videos for her culinary arts students. If this continues, we'll have to do this, Willer said. It shows we're still supporting the students. Cases of snacks and drinks that would have stocked the concession stand during the NJCAA tournament also had to be sold off, and quickly, before campus closes for spring break Friday. Susie Landers, assessment retention counselor in the Adult Education Department, has been involved with concessions during the NJCAA tournament for years. I've been in concessions for over 20 years, she said. I open the concession stand every morning of the tournament, come back to my office, and go back to the concession stand at night. During the day, DACC faculty and staff run the concessions for the duration of the tournament. Landers said friends and family make up the night crew, who has been selling concessions during the NJCAA tournament for more than 15 years. There are 50 people who volunteer to do concessions every year, she said. As soon as the NJCAA announced it was canceling all of its tournaments, Landers said she was able to cancel some of the orders, such as for hot dogs, chili, cheese, and buns, but many other orders already had been delivered in preparation for the event that was scheduled to begin on Tuesday. Not only was Landers left with cases of snack foods, candy, condiments, and tubes of chocolate chip cookie dough, hundreds of individual pieces in all, to sell because they would be out of date by next year's tournament, but she had to sell it quickly since the college announced Tuesday it would be completely shut down starting Monday through March 27th. We moved all the items from the concession stand to Susie's office yesterday, Laura Williams, Dean of Adult Education, said Wednesday. It looks like a mini grocery store in her office. She put out on email to the DACC employees, Williams said. We're selling things at cost so we can try to recoup some of those dollars. The DACC employees came through, and by Wednesday afternoon, all that was left was some candy. Landers said even the milk and Otis Spunkmeyer cookies that were delivered Wednesday morning were all sold. This morning, we went over to the Mary Miller complex to empty the coolers and sell our water and Gatorade, Landers said. We were able to put that money back in the pot and use it for next year's tournament. It's NJCAA tournament, a big deal to us here, but when you hear that NASCAR and other larger events are being canceled, selling off some concessions doesn't seem like that big of a deal after all, Landers said. And there's a picture of Susie Landers, assessment retention counselor in Danville Area Community College's Adult Education Department on the left, and Sydney Boyd, who helps with the National Junior College Athletic Association men's basketball tournament, sell off cases of snacks that had been purchased for the tournament. The NJCAA canceled the tournament due to the threat from the COVID-19. Next story is titled Council OKs Gun Shop Grow Site, and this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. Danville City Council members Tuesday night approved amending the city's zoning ordinance and map to approve a special use permit for a gun shop in the city, but a couple of the aldermen had serious concerns. Ward 5 Alderman Tom Stone said he had a problem with voting in favor of the plan with all the problems the city has with gun violence and having homicide victims' families and friends attending city council meetings asking aldermen to do something to curb it. This was a chance for him to do something, Stone said, by not allowing guns to be more accessible. He said he's never owned a gun, nor wants to. Ward 1 Alderwoman Brenda Brown said she has concerns too. Where we're at now with this gun violence is outrageous, she said, also adding about mental health illness mental health issues in the community. Ward 6 Alderman Aaron Troglia asked where else guns are sold. He received replies of Stock and Field, BFF Firearms in College Street, Dunham's Sports, and Ray O'Haron Company, three of which already are on North Vermilion Street. Ward 7 Alderman Steve Foster said one more gun shop isn't the issue. The council voted 9-2, with Stone and Brown voting against the proposal. Ward 3 Alderman R.J. Davis voting present, and Alderman Dan Duchesne said and Robert Williams absent to approve Gregory Hoover's request to operate at 3803 North Vermilion Street next to Chuck and Cloud's vape shop and zoned B2 highway business, Greg's Gun Gallery, a retail gun shop / specialty goods store. The council also approved by an 11-1 vote, with Davis voting against it, a special use permit for Green Growth Group Incorporated of Chicago for property at 202 and 204 Eastgate Drive, zoned 12 General Industrial, to operate a medicinal adult use cannabis cultivation center, and by a 12-0 vote for a special use permit for Garrett and Heather Pierce to operate a bar, tavern, nightclub at 127 North Walnut Street, the former Habitat Restore building, zone B4 general business. Also Tuesday, council members approved a $915,984 contract with Champagne Signal and Lighting for intersection work at Hazel and Fairchild Streets, and a $58,000 contract with Thomas Excavating of Danville for the demolition of the Harwall building at 101 West Harrison Street. A parking lot will be in where the Harwall now stands, which the Fisher Theater could use. Ward 7 Alderman Bob Iverson said the Hazel and Fairchild improvements are a safety issue for better turning radiuses, visibility, and the pedestrian traffic near the high school. Okay, I'll run through the obituaries. Lori L. Taylor Overmeyer, 61, of Danville, passed away March 16th at home. A celebration of life will be at a date to be determined. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville, is in charge of the arrangements. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in Lori's name to jdrf.org or a charity of the donor's choice. John Francis Big John Jones, Jr., 85, passed away Monday, March 16th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Open visitation hours for the public will be 8 a.m. to noon on Thursday, March 19th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. A private celebration of life will follow. Rodney Jones will officiate. Burial will take place at Greenwood Cemetery. Franklin Stokes, 91, of Danville, passed away at 3 p.m. Sunday, March 15th, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Per his wishes, he will have a graveside service at 2:30 p.m. on Friday, March 20th, at Forest Park Cemetery in Georgetown. Vicki Lackey, 67, of Hoopston, died at 5:52 p.m. Tuesday, March 17th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. Patricia Harden Pratt, 80, of Tilton, died at 5:10 p.m. Friday, March 13th, at home. A celebration of life will be from 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday at United Church of Tilton, 520 West 5th Street in Tilton. Funeral services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Wilda J. Pree, 65, of Danville, died at 7:03 p.m. Tuesday, March 17th at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Wartford Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Barbara Rupert, 85, of Danville, died at 3:09 p.m. Tuesday, March 17th at Champaign Urbana Nursing and Rehab in Savoy. Private graveside services will be at Sunset Cemetery in Danville. Robeson Chapel at 103 Douglas Street in Catlin is in charge of the arrangements. and Phyllis Vandervoort, 88, of Rossville, died at 10:05 p.m. Tuesday, March 17th, at Heritage Health Therapy and Senior Living in Hoopston. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. Okay, the next story is titled Hoopston Hires Part-Time Officer, and this is written by Carol Hicks in Hoopston. City Council members unanimously approved hiring Ryan G. Garfield of Watseka as the new part-time officer for the police department. Garfield has 10 years in law enforcement and 8 years in the Marine Corps, according to Alderman Carl Enkenbrand. Enkenbrand also said he heard complaints about residents not being able to see through the dispatch window. The new window was put in place due to complaints during Chief Mark Drollinger's time in office about people being able to read the computer screens of the police department while at the dispatch window. The window has eliminated that situation. In other council business, the council with read the COVID-19 plan for the city. The plan was created by Mayor Bill Krusenberry, Police Chief Jim DeWitt, Fire Chief Joel Bird, and EMA Director Brad Hardcastle. We're in phase one, said Krusenberry. Council members discussed the $6 fee for extra blue totes that Republic Services will charge residents. Each household can receive up to two totes. Any over that, a household will have $6 added to its water bill. Alderman Bill Goodwine said the limit of totes and the extra charge has always been in the contract with Republic Services, but has not been enforced. Letters will be sent by Republic Services to customers who do have extra totes. Customers who don't want the additional fee for extra totes added to their water bill can call Republic to pick up the extra totes. A Hoopston resident wants to see the list of trees to be cut down by the city, according to Alderman Alex Humes. Alderman Jeff Weiss will put a list together, although he said it will not be in order of the trees to be cut first. Trees on the list of at Floral Hill Cemetery will have to be cut by professionals, according to Weiss, to prevent tombstones from being damaged. Discussion also revolved around dilapidating buildings what machines and people are capable of doing with the buildings, and about tearing down versus having the fire department use a building for training. Bird said there was criteria the fire department must meet before a building can be used for training. If a house is in despair, we can't even train in it, said Bird. The next Hoopston City Council meeting will begin at 7 p.m. on April 7th in City Hall. Okay, not a lot of local news with all this virus going around, so I will read a story titled State Records 128 New Coronavirus Cases, and this is written by Rebecca Ansel in Capital News, Illinois, in Springfield. The number of confirmed cases of novel coronavirus COVID-19 in Illinois almost doubled overnight from 160 cases to 288, the state's Department of Public Health announced Wednesday. The novel severe acute respiratory illness has now been confirmed in 17 counties, including new cases in Kendall and Madison counties. Among the updated count are 20 new cases at a long-term care facility in DuPage County that first reported a confirmed case on Saturday. I know how tempting it can be to look at the illnesses and deaths in other countries and think, well, that could never happen here, Governor J.B. Pritzker said Wednesday at the St. Clair County Health Department in Belleville. It could happen here if we do not act with all due haste. From everything we know about this virus, no place, no person is immune. Illinois Department of Public Health Director Dr. Nosey, Ezike, added later at the media briefing in Murfreesboro that the grim truth is these numbers will continue to grow significantly as will likely the unfortunate statistics of fatalities. The first coronavirus-related death in Illinois was announced by her department on Tuesday. Actions taken and not by European governments should act as a cautionary tale, Pritzker said. He again urged residents to stay home. Children should avoid seeing their friends, and elderly individuals should ask neighbors for help securing supplies. The governor said he knows the coronavirus is taking a toll on everyone, and he is working to provide those most affected with assistance. This coronavirus is damaging people in a variety of ways, their health, their safety, and their livelihoods. And so we want to do everything we can to minimize that damage. Pritzker said that at the Murfreesboro briefing. He said he has called up 60 National Guardsmen to assist with delivering meals to children out of school, asked the federal government to ensure health care is extended to those who might not have it, opened applications for those who need unemployment security, organized with sheriffs across the state to halt evictions during the state of emergency, and established utilities will not shut off service to those unable to pay. The drastic steps we're taking now are what we have to do, closing the schools, closing the restaurants, but it will decrease the number of people who will become infected. That's what we want, Ezik said. With fewer people infected, there's less illness. With less illness, fewer people need care. With less people needing care, less people need intensive care unit beds, which of course are limited. The biggest challenge we face so far, Pritzker added, is lack of testing. The root of the issue was the federal government's decision to engineer its own COVID-19 test as opposed to using the one created by the World Health Organization. Pritzker said he has spoken to leaders of pharmaceutical companies to put Illinois a little bit ahead of the line in procuring supplies needed for testing, but he added supplies have thus far mostly been monopolized by the federal government. Ezik said the state has the capacity to test 60 to 100 samples per day, but the ongoing deficiency of tests, it will take every single one of us making every sacrifice that we can to reduce this virus. Illinois State Police Director Brendan Kelly said in Belleville that law enforcement personnel across the state are prepared to enforce the order for restaurants and bars to remain closed to dine-in customers. Failure to do so qualifies as a misdemeanor. Law enforcement is prepared to do what it always does and do it well, he said. But if you have any respect for the men and women of law enforcement, if you have any respect for your fellow citizens, if you have any respect for your loved ones or for yourself, you won't put us in the position of having to enforce the medically necessary provisions. Kelly also said state police are operating as they do during a severe winter storm. Officers are focusing on calls for assistance and preparing to secure medical facilities as needed. Investigations of violent crimes are continuing, with interviews conducted largely over the phone. He added emergency calls reporting crimes in progress have decreased in recent days. Illinois launched another online resource for residents looking to learn about the COVID-19 cases, preparation tips, or in need of other resources. www.coronavirus.illinois.gov. The Public Health Department statewide hotline is 1-800-889-3931, and its related email address for questions is dph.sick@illinois.gov. Okay, there's an article called Around the Area, a Coronavirus Impact, a Town-by-Town Roundup. I'll go through a few of the towns here around here. In Catlin, off-limits until a special delivery... Wait, hang on. No, I'm sorry. In Catlin, off-limits until end of April, the village's community room, a popular spot to rent for parties. Village Hall also remains closed to the public. Any payments residents need to make can be left in the drop box, mailed in, or handled online at clerk/treasurer Brandy Dalton said. And in Danville, beginning Monday and continuing until further notice, the Danville Mass Transit shuttle between Danville and Champaign will stop running. Also, the inside facilities of Danville's Richard Rasda bus terminal will be closed, DMT announced. And in Fithian, it remains unclear when State Representative Mike Moran, Republican from Fithian, and his fellow legislators will get back to work at the Capitol. A spokeswoman for House Speaker Michael Madigan said Wednesday that the session schedule remains in flux, and lawmakers should be prepared to return to Springfield to address urgent matters. And in Hoopston, the city has partially moved on to stage two of its newly created three-stage COVID-19 response plan, limiting access to the municipal building, closing other public buildings, and encouraging public works employees to have as minimal contact with residents as possible, Mayor Bill Krusenberry said. And in Rossville, access to the walk-up window at the village office has been closed. Any residents needing to make a payment can do so via mail, the night drop slot on the front of the building, or the drive-up window during normal office hours. In Tilton, a plea to village residents from the Public Works Sanitary Department. We are fully aware that some customers may turn to other items due to shortage of toilet paper in surrounding stores. We are asking you that you do not flush anything other than toilet paper. The use of paper towels, facial tissues, baby wipes, flushable wipes, and other similar items do not break down like toilet paper and can cause sanitary sewer overflows. That causes additional health issues on the top of the worries about the COVID-19. And in Westville, all meetings have been canceled, and Village Hall remains closed to the public. Okay, I'll run through the community briefs. In Danville, route canceled effective March 23rd until further notice. Danville Mass Transit Shuttle between Danville and Champaign will not run. The inside facilities of the Richard Brazda Bus Terminal building will be closed. And in Catlin, library closes. With the cancellation of Illinois Heartland Library Service, Catlin Public Library's Board of Trustees closed the library Tuesday until further notice. All library programming is canceled. All due dates are extended for all materials until May 1st. Patrons may still drop off items in the library's drop box. We are not accepting donations. The library will provide links to credible information as it comes available on the library's webpage or on Facebook. And in Hoopston, the shelters closed. The Hoopston Animal Rescue Team is asking for patience, as the shelter will remain closed to the public until further notice. People who need to relinquish their pets were asked to hold on to them until the pandemic passes. Leave messages at 283-0779. And library closed. The Hoopston Library Public Library is closed, and all programs canceled until further notice. Any overdue fines will be waived when the library reopens. Officials encourage patrons to use the library's online resources, including digital books for adults and children. Visit hooplib.org for more information. Lotteries Illinois Lottery on Wednesday. You don't need to know that. That's just the lottery tickets. Anyway, that's it. And there's still a lot on the calendar. There's still a lot of meetings that they say are taking place today. But with all the restrictions of no more than 5 people or 10 people or whatever it is, you probably should call and make sure that they are still having them, because most likely they are not. So just got a minute left here. That'll be it basically for Thursday, March 19th, 2020. Hopefully, happy spring. Today is the first day of spring. Hopefully it starts warming up here. Hopefully you can all stay well, healthy and safe. Stay home if you can, so that we can get rid of this coronavirus. I know it's hard for me to stay home. I'm used to volunteering all the time. So anyway, I hope you all take care, and I hope I get to see you all again next week. So stay home and stay safe. Love you all. Bye.